Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Ugh, let's get this over with.
You look chilly.
I'm freezing.
I'm wearing a hat.
You are.
I just got off a boat from Mexico.
Wow.
I know it. Nerds. Nerds.
Well, you weren't, you said you weren't going to be on the internet, but you kept replying to things.
here's my AT&T plan. Mexico and Canada treated like domestic.
Oh, nice. Did you know that?
On the other hand?
Oh.
Different.
Right.
And then I got a text message in the middle of the ocean at one point saying, you've spent over $100 on the internet, and you can call us for free and find out why. And I said, if I can call you for free, why don't you just give me the internet for free?
Oh, my God. Why isn't the plane made out of a black box? Oh, my God, Jackie.
Where's the comedy? Except for I wasn't working the room there. It was I'm Jackie Cation, by the way, and you're Laurie Kilmartin.
It's
and
none of your business.
It's none of my
business. I'm tired.
Why?
It feels like midnight.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what? I took Bikram yoga this morning. I'm trying to realign my body and prepare for old age. And I'm also obsessed with I have a bunion is reforming on my right foot. I had them treated when I was like 22. I had like both my feet operated on, and they're returning.
Wow.
And I'm enraged. And so I'm trying to manually push my toe over by any means necessary. I'm wearing like little spacers right
now.
Have
you seen a podiatrist?
Yeah, he said you could have surgery, but it could make it worse. Like, it could fuck with your gait and you rock and stuff if they mess it up.
Right.
You know? And he goes,
how
as long
will
as
you
it's
swing
not
dance?
Hurting.
Yes.
As long it doesn't hurt, but it's just, you know, I don't like the way it looks. I've got a knob sticking out of my foot.
I do too.
I'm trying to do this.
Is that a bunion, do you think?
Yes. Or? Yeah, it's a bunion.
Okay.
And you can put like a rubber band around your big toes and then pull your feet apart so your toes stretch out. That's
yeah.
really good for your toes, your big toes. But I've been wearing these spacers at Bikram Yoga so that I can train my toe, that toe muscle, which is kind of pushing in to work, you know, how it's supposed to work.
Right.
I don't
right.
know if this is going to work at all. But
you can't tell.
I look at my mom's feet and I'm like, oh my God, this can't happen to me.
Right.
I've got to do anything to stop it.
To avoid it. She's 80. She gets to have fucked up feet. That's
I don't
want to
have fucked up feet when I'm 80.
No, I know it. I
okay.
want to be dead when I'm 80.
No.
Is that anything?
It's my eye doctor, because my prescription is so severe, I have to go like every two years to the eye doctor. I think most people should, but most people don't.
No, I have to go every year. Don't you have to go every year? Every 2 years,
every two.
He said. Okay.
Because to get new contacts, they always want to look at my eyes.
Oh, right, right.
So he said, and so you do go every year? I was going to ask you.
I'm supposed to. I'd go every couple of years.
Okay.
That's true.
Because you don't want to get macular degeneration, right? And that's a thing that happens to older people. Not us yet, but like when you're 70s or 80s, my grandmother had it where, you know, your vision just gets so fucked up and it's not correctable.
Oh, okay.
Eat lots of leafy greens and take a Centrum.
I like a leafy green. I don't know what a Centrum is. Is that
it's like
a vitamin?
One a day vitamin
there
or something.
There you go. Get a vitamin. I've done so much stand-up comedy since I last spoke with you.
Same.
I went to Acme Comedy Company.
How was it?
Oh, it's a delight. But it's so interesting because my stand-up comedy is changing again.
Yeah.
And it's always terrifying.
Right.
But there's nothing.
What do you mean?
It's,
what do you mean? You just have new stuff.
I have new stuff, but it's not like, you know, I was listening. About a month ago or so, I did the Brea Improv.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done a long set. And Brea is such a kind of a suburban
yeah.
kind of situation that I listened to all of my albums.
Right, right.
In backwards, by the way. So I listened to myself turn into a vampire. And I listened to myself get less good at stand-up comedy. And some of the jokes are fine. But it's definitely very different and less personal and less interesting.
Oh, yeah. You just get to take out an anvil and hit him on the head for 45 minutes.
Right. I'm just like,
bong, bong, bong.
Listen to this whack job. And so I was actually, because I was working on this new stuff, and it's been 2 weeks since Acme, so I wrote down as a note of something to talk about on this program how scary it was. But now it's 2 weeks later. I'm not scared anymore. Who gives a shit? These people can listen to it.
Sure.
And
Do you have a 10-minute chunk that's kind of weak or something?
Yeah, it's a 10-minute chunk, and it's relatively it's kind of about the aging process and being a woman and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, there was a guy, and Acme usually doesn't have this problem, but there was just a baseball cap of a dude.
Yeah.
Third row.
Right.
And he was sitting third row, and every time I would mention being a woman, it'd be like this tiny recoil.
Oh, my God.
He would just sort of, and I literally became so enraged.
Did you talk to him directly?
No, but I did the gross joke that I think I only floated the premise on this show.
Yeah.
Because I was always like, I would never say that on stage. Why wouldn't I say it to thousands of people over the internet instead out loud? But it's essentially just, it was an actual very graphic thing about the nature of my menstrual cycle at this juncture. And you know what? No one needs to hear it. But he flinched for the third and last time. And I'm like, oh, we're going there, brother.
Yeah. Some jokes are punishment.
You know what? Some jokes are.
It's not meant to entertain. It's meant to teach you to stop recoiling.
And then I've had...
Now, that's a lesson that guy won't learn. And he'll be resentful for the rest of his life that he heard
that
about
he had
your
to sit through
cycle.
It. Yeah.
But, you know, didn't Seinfeld say no matter how much you're killing, you have to figure at least 10% of the audience is not into you at all?
No, the thing about, I never know the wise words of Jerry Seinfeld. I never think.
She's
possibly.
Writing. That's why she's lost attention and focus.
I've weeded off because I'm making notes. But, okay. And the only other weird thing that happened, and this was a fan. You know, a 6'2" fan, kind of just a giant, kind of round faced, doughy dude.
Yeah.
Very nice white guy in the end. But I turned around and he was looming over me. And I was just standing out kind of by the merch table.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm practicing my stalking. And
ooh,
I was like,
no, you never want
not
to hear
funny.
That.
Not funny. I know you're kidding. But, and he goes, yeah. And he was kind of half in the bag already. He was late for the show. MC was already out. But I was like, show's already started. And he's like, I'm a huge fan. And I said, well, then let's start over. I'm Jackie. And I put out my hand and he goes, I'm Todd. And then he took
you didn't
both...
have to tell me he was Todd. That is Todd behavior.
He took both of his hands, which were like giant fish. I'm not even kidding. They were slightly wet. And he clamped them around my hand and he wouldn't let go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, again, there's trouble here. And I had to pull my hand from his and I was like, I mean, I'm psyched you like the show, but we got to just...
Stop being drunk, Todd.
Stop being drunk.
Seriously.
And thinking you're hilarious. And then his wife and the funniest of the trio, their 15-year-old goth daughter who came with them to the show, who could not have looked less excited. And she was tricked out in goth.
That's great.
Like, so she looked awesome.
At the end of the show, was she happier?
They kicked him out. He got so drunk they couldn't stay.
Oh, that's why she's unhappy. Poor
girl has to sit through drunky dad.
Oh God.
And then his wife, and I never say shit like this, except for rarely I guess I say shit like this because his wife comes up and I said, you got to do something about him. And she goes, is he acting up? And I said, there's trouble. He's a little too touchy.
Yeah.
And she goes, he can do that.
He can't.
No, he can't, actually. It's frowned upon by society.
It's not allowed.
So don't do it. And then I just spent a week on a boat full of people who are like, I'm socially awkward. I have social anxiety. I don't necessarily get good cues when it's time. But the nicest people in the world who like overcompensated and would just sort of do these sort of the perfect sort of drive-by compliment that comics love.
Mm-hmm.
You're great. Gone.
Ah, that's all you need. Get out.
It's so nice. It's nice to be loved and then the moving on.
Let's see. So I forget, when's the last time we talked? Like on the 10th or something?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. So then, we had the Writers Guild's Award. Writers Guild Awards on Sunday, the 11th, maybe? That was the 11th? We lost.
Oh.
We didn't win. But, you know, everyone dressed up and we all went to a...
You had an event.
Yeah, we went to an event. It's fine.
It was nice. And then I realized,
oh, I'm not dressed up enough. Like, I, because of my bunions, I was like, oh, I'm not going to wear those shoes. You know, so now I'm wearing like clompy shoes and I look like I'm going to an open mic. Excuse me. And other writers are dressed, you know, in suits and nice outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like relieved when we didn't win because I didn't want to misrepresent.
Oh, right.
Women
when going up
myself.
On stage.
Yeah.
In a clompy shoe.
Yeah, clonk. Like, you know, didn't she know she was...
Didn't they know they were nominated?
And then the next day went to New York, took the early flight out of LAX on JetBlue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I had to walk past the Mint people. You know, Mint is first class. That was a hard walk, Jackie.
That's brutal these days.
I was like walking back to Road 23.
I thought you were gonna pay for it these days.
No, I did that one time to treat myself for the Audible.
I thought you were gonna get a treat yourself.
And then
yourself
I had to walk by.
You deserve Mint.
Oh man, if I that's all I would want.
Enough money. You want Mint money?
Mint money. Yes.
JetBlue Mint money, you guys.
And then I had a couple shows in New York for like Monday and Tuesday night. And then Wednesday.
Where do you go up on a Monday and Tuesday in New York?
The Stand.
You just picked up sets at The Stand?
Yeah. I did a set at Stand Up New York. I did a couple of Stand Up New York. I did a set. Ruby Karp, and whose mother, Marcel, listens to the show. Her daughter is a stand-up, and she has a show at UCB.
Okay.
Not the new one. The second one. And it was cool. It got some spots in. It was fun. And then
is that long one?
The one
that's real long?
Yeah.
I don't mind that room.
I like it.
Usually, I don't like a long room, but that one actually holds up.
It was a fun show.
I think it's the ceiling's low.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, low ceiling. And then Wednesday, I was at, I had to rent a car.
I rented a car at
JFK. Okay, so I rented a car at Advantage.
Right.
And then I just had it for a couple days and was just moving it around, parking it in Harlem, crossing my, I got all the insurance. And then I drove to
Providence.
No. I was at Comics at Mohegan Sun.
That's right. That's right. How did that go?
It wasn't bad. Okay. So it was a full room. Like, it was full for Valentine's Day. And apparently, I didn't read my contract. I had a 400 guarantee plus extra if I filled the room.
Filled it.
So I got some extra money.
Oh, good.
So that made me. So then I was like, oh, I wish I'd have known that earlier. Wouldn't have been so resentful for 3 weeks. And I could have known that had I read. Okay.
Right.
So, and it's nice. It's in the heart of a casino. Nothing depresses me more than a casino, especially.
Oh yeah,
that one is like in the middle of nowhere. So there's no place to escape. There's no place to go. Once you walk in,
it's got a mall attached.
Yes,
to it.
You're in. You're
right. It
you're
sticks
in forever.
Out of the beautiful Connecticut countryside like the devil's thumb. It is very beautiful.
And then so I did not stay overnight. I drove back to New York.
Really?
And then the next day I drove back out to Connecticut. I just wanted to drive home.
Okay.
It was only 2.5 hours, and oops, gosh.
You're like, I'd rather be home. Yeah.
I used to drive 2 to 3 hours all the time at night. I used to, you know, you do gig in Redding, California, and then drive back. I just did so much thinking when I was driving at night.
Yeah.
And I just don't do that anymore.
Right.
I don't drive. I don't have those long hours where you're driving 80 miles an hour and there's no traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not that. It's not my life now.
I've never enjoyed driving at night. Would you drive? You drive after the gig home?
Yeah, home.
If 3 hours.
4 hours or less, I drive.
Four hours or less.
Because you're wired.
You're wired
and
for...
And I'm listening to stuff. I was listening to podcasts. I was listening to...
Oh, good.
You know.
Yeah, no, I wish I had been like that. I would always have to pull over. Like, I did it twice. And the second time, I was like, hey, dum-dum, this isn't your strong suit. Pull over and take your life into your own hands by parking in a rest area in the middle of North Dakota and take a nap for an hour and a half.
Well, yeah. I mean, the longest one I did, I think, was right after I did a show at Bend, Oregon. And that was like a nine-hour drive back. And I'm like, I got this. And
did you indeed have it?
I did.
Oh my God.
Okay, so first of all, it's a Saturday night. It's the end of a triple run, right?
Oh yeah.
So you don't want to hang out and drive 9 hours all day Sunday. The cool thing is you're chasing the sun when you're driving. You get home when the sun is up, and it kind of helps the night pass faster.
That's cool.
Versus being out in the sun all day long. Okay?
Right. For me, I like to start at 4. Because then the sun rises at 6.
I'm just ending at 4.
Right. You're
See?
Done at 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want any part of it. I want to sleep for like 5 hours.
No.
Get up at 4 and then drive and it's fine.
So this place in Bend, so it's raining.
Yeah.
I remember this distinctly.
Oh,
Ned, this might not, I have this memory. It may not be this exact Bend gig. It might be another gig in Oregon, but I was determined to leave and drive home that night. And it was raining, and I'm driving on. It's not 5 yet. It's like a little one of those little smaller roads in Oregon. So it's not highway. It's not Interstate 5. We're going to Interstate 5.
Oh, so it's just a state.
It's
highway.
One of the yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
no lights.
It's a yeah. It's not as safe. And I get behind a truck, and I just leech on the truck for like 3 hours, and he lets me. And then when we get on the 5,
what's that called? In
I
racing?
Honk. I'm like, it's like what
drifting.
Yes, no drafting. Drafting.
Drift. Nah, whatever.
It's drafting.
Okay.
In bicycling. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So anyway, so that happens.
So you wave.
So, okay. I waved. I honked. Thank you, warrior. Thank you. You led me to Interstate
yes.
5. Got home safe, obviously. So I go home. I go back to Harlem for after Mohegan Sun, and I forget to get my check. So I'm still waiting on that.
Because
I want to get
people.
Out of this casino.
Yeah,
I wanted to get
enough.
Out and get away from that ice sculpture. Oh, you know that one in the center?
No, I haven't been.
It's awful. It's huge and it's awful.
Did you do a room with squishy chairs?
I don't know if the chairs were squishy.
Because it's my least. I opened for Maria at the Mohegan Sun one time, and it was. It didn't go well for either of us. We were swimming upstream here.
They weren't a savvy audience. Like,
no.
I had to do a lot of facial. I had to sell it with a lot of mugging and moving.
I will milk the goodwill.
Like,
I
did a couple jokes, kind of just, you know, deadpan. I'm like, oh shit, I need to burn some calories on this one.
I love the idea that that's why comics do some mugging. Gotta burn some calories.
And the wait staff, I'm noticing this a lot in clubs now, is they're using iPads to...
To order.
Yeah, to order and to, you know, to add the stuff
up.
And which makes sense.
Square.
But there's just like floating devices all over the place now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, all right, this is life now.
Mm-hmm. That is different.
Yeah. So then on Thursday night, on the 15th, I drive up to this place called Madison, Connecticut. And it's past Mohegan Sun, and I'm going to do a book reading at RJ Julia, which is an independent bookseller.
Oh, cool.
And it's like 40 people were there.
Nice.
Now, so I checked into to a bed and breakfast, you know,
okay.
like some old, like 100-something-year-old house. And,
neat.
I was just going to treat, it had like a fireplace in my bedroom and I made a fire and it was,
oh, really?
Yeah. I was like,
oh,
I'm going to go all in on just having an adorable
a
little
New
night.
England moment.
Yes.
Yes.
And then at the books, here's the thing, like I've done 2 readings now and I'm used to a comedy club audience and these are not comedy club people.
You know, they're bookstore people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of them just go to readings. They don't buy a book. They don't know what the book's about and they don't care. They go to all the readings.
Like, it's a social moment.
Some people go to sleep. They actually, like at Romans, a woman asleep in the front row. And as a comic, you call them on it, but I'm like, it's a different sort of atmosphere.
Oh, did you call them on it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there you go. Because
no,
it is indeed
notice,
a different atmosphere.
Like, I, a lot of people who were coming to these things were they had just lost somebody, so they were like coming from this earnest place, and right. I'm opening with the porn chapter, and I'm like, all right, maybe I shouldn't open with this chapter, you know, because this isn't a club.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
right.
But that was fun. It was good. And then Friday, Saturday, I went to continue driving up to Providence.
Right.
And those were fun shows. I just had one on Friday and then two on Saturday.
Nice.
And they almost canceled the second show Saturday because it was about to snow, like major snowstorm.
Right.
And so they had 60 people cancel and they're like, oh, it's going to be a really light show. And then for some reason, people rallied and then 60 more people came. So it was like a pretty full show.
Yeah. There's nothing like a snowstorm for people to go, hey, it's dangerous. Get the kids. Let's get in the car.
But I was staying at the Omni in Rhode Island. The Omni's nice. It's nice, yeah. And it's also very expensive. Like, okay. I was like, all right.
And that's
room service. You know, I'm in a robe and it's room service. And
yes.
Yeah, so I drove there. I got there. I did yoga in Madison, Connecticut. And then I drove to Rhode Island. And I got in at 2:00. And the show's not till like 8 or something.
Yeah,
and I have 6 hours
afternoon.
In a robe. In a hotel room. And I just sat there.
That's something you deserve, quite honestly, at this point.
I loved it. Yes.
It was the time of your life.
And I got room service. And the room service charges were more than the actual meal I was getting. Like, it doubled in price. I was
shocked. Right.
And I still gave her $10 extra, but I was like, Jesus Christ.
I never get room service. The room service was free on the boat.
Yeah.
And I was just like, can't face it.
But every once in a while, when you're all comfy,
like
cozy in a bed and a robe, don't you just want someone to bring a meal to you in a silver, in a platter that's covered?
Only if there was a table. I don't want to eat in a bed.
You can eat in the bed. It's not your bed. They'll clean it the next day.
I always feel, yeah, it's too much. But good for you.
So that was cool. So then I drove back to JFK.
Oh, dropped the car off?
I dropped the car off, flew home, and we started back to work this week.
Wait. Oh, so you just flew home from the dropping the car off?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I was going to say luggage at home and then car and then cab or train back to Harlem.
I forgot. No, you're wrong. I mean, I'm wrong. I told you wrong.
Oh, I'm wrong.
I got up very early on Sunday morning. I drove to Harlem because I had laundry. I was like, oh, I don't want to have smelly. So I did laundry.
You did go back to, yeah.
And then
dropped it off.
Then dropped off, yeah.
Nice work.
Yeah.
I have to say this. Your book is in our bathroom. I've read
a perfect bathroom book. Am I right? Perfect,
yes. Andy's read most of it. And, you know, his father died about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And he is like, it is, he was like, it's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
He said it's, he's like, it hits your heart really bad, but it's seriously darkly funny.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I don't think that there's a better review of it than that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was pretty great. So,
yeah.
Well
Thanks
done.
Thanks for writing a review.
On Amazon.
I laughed so hard when you wrote that you're never going to read the book in the book. Oh, my God. That made
right,
me
that
laugh.
Woman who came up to me at Cobbs.
How was Cobbs?
Cobbs was, I got a free hoodie. Free zip hoodie.
A Cobbs hoodie?
Yep.
I want one.
I never
got one.
Maybe you need to do a Valentine's Day where you get paid something like what you got paid for Valentine's Day. And then, and it was a nice lineup of women comics.
Yeah.
That were fascinating.
Yeah.
And then, no, what am I talking about? Cobbs was a mess.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Are we just...
That's how long it's been.
Do we have so many... Like, you have a slot in your brain for Cobbs, and you remember, like, there's 10 potential shows for you to remember for your Cobbs story, and you just dip into the closest
Here's
one.
Here's what happened. You remember the last time we spoke?
Yeah.
You'll remember I had a rash that I had gotten from New York I was allergic to some soap or something.
Oh,
and
right.
Over the back of my body.
Right.
Well, that rash continued for 2 fucking weeks.
No.
And it didn't spread, but it didn't go away.
Was it itchy?
So itchy.
Oh.
So by the time I got to Acme, I was like, I don't know what to do. And my sister's like, go to the Minute Clinic at the Target, CVS.
Yeah. Oh.
And they will give you, they're going to want to give you topical cream, make them give you an oral, and it'll take care of it immediately. And I was like, okay. So I go, and they give me a very strong steroid
yeah.
called prednisone.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that. Which, I think my mom's taken that for many years.
It's supposed to be enormously addictive.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be an amphetamine.
Right.
And a reducer of... But so I...
What's it do?
Well, it gets rid of your rash. I'll tell you that.
But it must do more than that because my mom never had it.
It's an anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
But when you stop taking it,
yeah,
you become the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, where you cannot move your joints.
Really?
Yeah. There is a withdrawal symptom. So,
wow.
But it is an amphetamine because I got on stage and I literally was telling three jokes at once. And hilarious for the comics, by the way. And a fan of the Dork Forest named Darlene, who was sitting in the back of the room with her wife, Peggy. And they were like, what was going on? And I was like, well. And and the fans of this show who were there, yeah. who knew that, they were like, what happened to you? And I was like, I'm on a drug, you guys. And so I was talking super fast. I got dead standstill lost. Like twice.
Whoa.
Which hasn't happened in a million years.
Why? Was your brain just flooded or something?
Yeah, my brain was flooded and then, get this, empty. So disappointed.
Filled with water
and then all of a sudden drained completely clear.
Oh my God.
And I got lost in my set list and I was like, well, then just tell jokes. Just do any bit that comes right. to mind. So there was no arc. It didn't have a lot of things, but I wanted to tell the Viking portrait joke.
Yeah.
So I did get to that, but then God knows what other jokes I told. I think I tried a brand new joke that had no point or purpose. Yeah, the journey continued.
Well, what night was that?
It was Valentine's night.
Oh, Wednesday.
So I felt bad.
Oh, Wednesday at
Cops? It
was
a Wednesday at Cops.
Oh, I thought you said you were at Acme.
No, no, it was the Wednesday.
I was like, Darlene and Peggy went to Acme? Oh, you got the drugs at Acme.
Right. And I saw, you have to taper yourself off. So it's six of those pills for the first 4 days.
Yeah.
And then five pills for 2 days, four pills for 2 days, like that, until you do one and one. I did two pills and then one and one on the boat. So that's how long the dosage lasts. It was like a week and a half.
That sounds like bad news, man.
It was a drag.
There's the topical wouldn't have been as successful.
No, I can't get to it. It was all over my back.
Right, right.
So I was like, well, I'm alone.
But you could definitely go up to like a hot guy and go, hey, would you rub this on my rash? You could do that, right?
Yeah, that doesn't feel harassing at all. No, I'm flirting. Did you know that I was flirting? Anyway,
that's what your feature act is for. Rub this on my rash.
Poor Trevor. Young Trevor. So... Brandy Brown opened for me.
Yeah.
Brandy Brown. I love Brandy Brown. She's done several episodes of the Dork Forest, including half an episode about the United States Supreme Court, bleeding into her love of the comic strip fucking Heathcliff. Heathcliff, the cat.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it was hilarious. She is both one of the most serious people and one of the most silly people. Everyone should see Brandy Brown. So,
well, I did some... podcasts and stuff like that, but you know, like the book came out, it was just sort of like, all right, it's out
now. People should buy it.
Well, and then I got a couple of one-star reviews from Elon Musk fans.
And
they're still mad at me.
They're still mad
at you. So if anyone wants to write a good review to offset so that I'm closer to five stars, then
yeah,
I would
really
appreciate
it. That'd be great.
Thank you. Yours was really nice.
I've had some weird trolley kind of stuff, too, where you're just like, I don't – because it's so different than heckling.
Mm-hmm.
Because real trolls or internet trolls, I don't know what they're getting out of it because – I block them immediately. I mean, I don't have the dialogue.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like, you know, when a heckler, and this is not to encourage any sort of heckling out
yeah.
there, but when a heckler says something and it's actually funny,
yeah,
you can actually acknowledge the hit.
Oh, yeah.
In the moment.
Sure.
Online, you can't because you don't know how serious they are, what weird thing is happening, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I had a guy, go up to a comic that I barely ever hang out with and said, mm-hmm. do you know Jackie Cation? A guy that doesn't like me. And the guy that is a sort of a casual friend of mine goes, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, she's a good friend. And she's a casual friend of mine, probably, mm-hmm. is what he said.
Yeah.
And then the guy who doesn't like me said, oh, do you have her address?
Address?
Yeah. And so I get a text from him while I'm on the boat saying, hey, this weird guy asked for your address. And I said, well, did you give it to him? And he goes, no, I didn't have it. And I said, I think he just wants me to like live in some sort of weird nervousness that now he has my address.
That's very strange.
It's weird, right?
Yes.
So, banana head, though.
Mm.
What are you going to do?
And
that comic.
Oh, hold on. The one that wanted your address?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, bad guy.
Right.
Yeah, a guy who does not like me.
Oh.
And,
Yeah.
So, whatever. I mean, but the thing is I'm like, who cares? It's, but so, like, I mean, the weird trolley kind of feel to it where you're like, you're trying to make me feel uncomfortable? I live in America in 2018. I'm consistently uncomfortable.
Right.
You really can't discomfort me at this time.
Some guys came onto my Facebook page and started going, well, you know, talking about me in the third person like I wasn't,
like it wasn't your Facebook page.
Like, I bet now she'll block it, you know, or she'll make her page private now. I'm like, it's my page.
It's my public.
But then I research. Then I start like, you can
you
do
follow
a little.
Them.
Oh, fuck. I don't follow them. I just do a little research.
Yeah.
So one of the guys was like fired from his job in 2014 and is now living in China. And I'm like, and then I'm like, do I, you know, could I
engage?
I could put together, yeah, I could put together a nice little dossier on how your life is falling apart, you middle-aged fuck.
Yeah.
And but then what? So then you start going to everything that I could possibly have that could be reviewed and start one-starring it.
Right.
Right?
And it's not like regular hecklers.
Right.
Because at the end of a show, mm-hmm. there's been a heckler.
Mm-hmm.
That person, I'm not going to say. I would say 85% of the time, mm-hmm. heckler will come up to you and say, I helped.
Right, right.
Or some other goony thing that they say that they think they've done. And then you go, it's actually not so.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I've seen dude comics be rude to hecklers after the show and go, no, you were not cool. It wasn't all right. I've never seen a woman comic do anything but sigh and go, it actually isn't like that. It didn't actually help. It's kind of disruptive. And, I mean, like, women are constantly explaining to drunk dudes.
Yeah.
Women comics, anyway.
Yeah.
You failed at what you thought you were doing. No, I know what you thought you were. It just doesn't work that way. You know, mm-hmm. hey, man. So, but online, none of that happens. All that happens is best bet you ignore them. Worst bet you block them.
Yeah, or they just disappear. Like this
and
one
then
guy,
they disappear.
This one guy wrote something on my page, and then I, you know, did a little homework on him, and I found out, you know, I started like his name, and then I started, you know, it took me a little while, a little detective work, but I found that he worked at Wimbledon. And I'm like, I go, oh, does
the
that
tennis?
Do you speak to your female employees or your female coworkers like this at Wimbledon? Do you show up on their page and call them dumb fat cows? And then he went away.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, so, you know, but then I thought, do I just want to do this?
You
do detective work on strange men? Is that of hanging out with my son?
Exactly. Talk about a clock eater, though. Yeah. Ooh, clean the house.
No, I don't clean the house. But that's a fantasy that I would.
Yeah.
My mom's driving me crazy.
Is she?
She, okay, so every time I walk in, I have to move the mic back. If I walk into the house.
Okay.
Laurie! She's as if, because she's convinced there's 100 rapists surrounding the house, and she wants to make sure it's me coming in. But I'm tired of walking into the house. And to that noise.
Yeah.
To that sound.
Have you thought about recording? Yes, Mom. And then just playing it.
No, it's too much work.
It is too much work.
It's just like, and it's not just that, it's that energy and that constant anxiety that she is, that's all she presents.
Right.
She walks into the room, you feel it. She's frowning.
Yeah.
She doesn't like something she sees, or she's worried about something. Her hands are in little tiny fists
Yeah.
It's constant, I don't want that energy around me. And it's around me.
Yeah.
God.
You're fucking soaking in it, which is what blows.
Mm-hmm. I'm being flooded, if to use your analogy.
I saw my dad after Acme.
Oh, yeah.
I went down to Milwaukee to stare deeply into his eyes while he told me, and I kid you not, that he's thinking of getting his eyes done at the VA.
LASIK?
No, he'd like to get a small facelift. He's trying to talk the VA into giving my 80-year-old father a facelift.
Oh, my God.
First of all, he's trying to talk the VA into it because it's something to do. If he can get the VA to pay for a facelift, he wins. He wins a game that only he's playing. And I said to him, and I did. And
the VA shouldn't have the kind of money.
They don't.
They should not have those funds available.
But they do not.
Okay. There's plenty of guys that are killing themselves and have PTSD and need some actual help from the VA.
No, my father is, his hobby is literally just getting services for things that he may or may not need, want, or desire. So I said, my favorite conversation with him, because he's brought it up twice now. And initially I said, Dad, it's a little late in the game for a facelift, 80. Mm-hmm. And he goes, game's not over. Game's not over. And I said, really? And he goes, this could be the seventh inning stretch. You don't know. I was like, seventh inning stretch at 80. It made me love the guy, though.
That's what my eye doctor said. He goes, you could live for 40 or 50 more years. You got to take care of your eyes. Always wear sunglasses. He doesn't want me.
I did see my Aunt Alice, who's 90.
Wow.
And she was actually bumming. And my aunt Alice is actually incredible.
Is she Armenian or Irish?
Armenian.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got no contact with my mom's family.
Really?
Yeah, they cut us off.
Why?
We were the bad Irish. We were troubled. They didn't want any part of us.
Oh, no. But you must have cousins that don't feel that kind
of
thing.
I've got thousands of cousins. I think I have one. There's one guy named Randy who's about my age, who I think lives in Ohio, who... said that he was going to come to a show one time when the internet was invented, right? Back when we were just kids.
Right.
And so, Kyle, fuck you. And but he contacted me. He's probably 4 or 5 years younger than us. And and he goes, hey, I'm going to come to your show. Do you want to try to get together and do coffee or something? And I said, sure. I mean, we haven't talked to them since my mom died in 1972.
God dang.
And, my stepmother's sister died, too.
Oh.
My Aunt Cindy, who was never nice to me.
Oh.
And always mean to my dad. And my dad inspire some...
Yeah.
Yeah. My father, he knows that he was a jerk to my Aunt Cindy, but he called me up to say, you know, Cindy Mushatowski died.
Yeah.
There's a long pause, and he goes, I don't regret anything. I was like, well, the last time I talked to Cindy Wojtkowski was at my stepmother's funeral, and she was telling mean stories about Nancy.
Oh.
At Nancy's funeral. And I was like, well, we're done. I'm done trying to talk to you. I don't mind her kids. I mean, her kids were always nice enough, cousin-y kind of people to me.
Sure. Never trust people who tell you they're going to see a show.
No, yeah, that happened. That happened right there on the internet.
That happens on Twitter a lot. And then
didn't he send you a picture of, or was that a different show with a woman, I think?
I don't know.
I'm going to need a picture of the ticket stub.
After the third promise of seeing a show, then I start to meet the person. And, hey, if you're at the show, come say hi to me.
Right.
But if you're not, some people think you're not the only person that would come see my show.
So right.
So if you were there or not, guess what? 200 other people were.
Exactly.
And I didn't notice.
This isn't my Little League game, is what I always tell my dad.
It's literally your loss, not mine.
It's literally your loss. Definitely.
Because it was, you know, like...
There's going to be 200
other
people.
Shows were good,
there.
And I might never, ever come back here again. You don't know if you're ever going to do a gig again, right?
No.
I mean, you can pretty much... be reliably you'll come back to Acme again.
Oh, yeah.
But everything else, bookers change, you know, clubs close down or whatever.
Yep.
Or they decide they don't like you or something. Mm-hmm. So you don't know if you're ever going to be back again. So
it's true.
You know what? You people out there, you should act like every time we come to your village,
the last time.
It's the last possible time to see
right.
us.
Right. This could be our final tour.
Seriously.
Of the Seattle area. You don't know.
I'm in Portland, March 24th. 4th, I think. Whatever that Saturday is. Oh, at the God. Curious, okay? Don't act like I'm coming back in the summertime. This is your That's time true. To see me. It's a 7:30 show in Portland.
That's
I could
just
die
one
on
night.
The way home. You know how I like to drive?
Late at night.
Okay.
In the dark
I'm
on
in San
a two-lane
Francisco,
highway.
The 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Punchline.
And
don't be like, oh, I'll see you next time you're here. There
you,
might not
you got
be
a headline
next
week at Punchline in San Francisco?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That'll be great.
It's my hometown.
No, and well, it ought to be.
And you know what? I can't seem to get a fucking book reading in my hometown. I even
That's weird.
There's a bookstore in Orinda, which is like 10 minutes from Walnut Creek, where I'm born and raised.
No city
no
lights?
No interest. No city. No, I don't know. I assume that they asked City Lights. I assume they asked everybody.
Right.
And your hometown always shits on. Fucking Madison, Connecticut doesn't know me, and they had me there.
That's it. I didn't work Wisconsin for decades because, and I used to, I'm
by
doing,
the way, Madison, Connecticut is, I think, run by middle-aged women. And it's one of those towns where 10 years ago I would have been like, ugh. Yeah, I like your Chico store. Enjoy your loose-fitting clothing. Now I'm like, I could retire here.
Let their please.
I just want to live in a little bed and breakfast and drink coffee at RJ Julia.
All right. I'm doing Vermont.
Oh,
Phoenix,
you're doing Burlington?
Phoenix. I'm going to Vancouver this weekend.
Wow.
I'm doing Burlington.
When?
And a live Dork Forest. I think end of the month, March.
Okay.
But I'm doing the Bird Comedy Festival in Phoenix. I'm also doing that Glendale Club outside of Phoenix, the Tommy guy.
Oh, yeah. Tom Sims.
And,
yes.
Yep. And both of them know about each other. And they both know that they're 45 minutes apart and nobody drives 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine. It'll be different.
You're
audience.
Doing the clubs back to back?
2 weeks between them.
So one of them is you're headlining and the other ones you're doing with Maria? Or
no,
you're headlining both of them?
I'm headlining the Glendale. And then at the other one, I'm doing just long set at a festival. Marcel Arguello's going to be
cool.
there. And right Brandy on. Posey.
Oh, nice.
Couple of comics of the week. Is it time, by the way, to do a comic of the
it
week?
Sure is.
God, what time is it, by the way?
41.
Okay.
Holy crap. Aparna Nancherla told me about this woman, and you've met her, you know her.
Yes.
It's Samantha Ruddy.
Yes, Samantha Ruddy.
New
Very
York
funny.
Comic.
Mm-hmm.
And her Twitter handle is a mess. Samantha, people want to see you do comedy. I'm going to go home and watch a lot of videos because Samantha Ruddy, you guys, very funny comic. And it's at Sam, S-A-M-L-Y, Matters. So Samly Matters. So at S-A-M-L-Y.
It's Family Matters with an S, guys. Yeah.
Now that it's said out loud, it's sort of like a personalized license plate. well done.
It makes sense to
Samantha
Annie Laurie
Ruddy.
16 over here.
Annie Laurie 16 knows things. Yeah, so does at Jackie Cation. I got to do a Dork Forest on the boat with Anita Sarkeesian.
Yeah.
And
wait, she's a gamer? Wait.
Yeah, she's she writes about she's a nonprofit about women's rights in media.
Yes. Yeah,
so
yeah.
She's awesome, but she's Armenian.
Mm.
And we were going to talk. Her dorkdom was going to be bougie food.
Because
she's like, I like to save up and get like a weird meat.
Mm-hmm.
And we never did really get to talk about it because we ended up talking about being Armenian and how annoying Armenians are. And such a weird dork forest that'll be coming up.
Listen, I have a new appreciation for Armenians because I spent the weekend with the Portuguese in Rhode Island.
Ah.
Oh, my God.
Did you have linguiça?
No, I just I was selling books after a show.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Paulo.
Paulo, that's a Portuguese name.
Drunk. Puts his arm around me. You're funny. You know, all that stuff. Giving me kisses
stuff.
On the side of the face. And he goes, what is this? I go, it's a book I wrote. It's called Shitty Mom. I want to buy it. Okay. So then all he has is $14. And he's taking out.
Oh, my God.
But he's got like five Rolexes on his fat arm. And but he's only got $14. And then so I'm like, oh, whatever. And he was going
to
get the other six from his girlfriend or something. So then I start writing Paulo and whatever.
It's too late.
And then he comes back and he's like, I can't do it. I go, hey, I got your fucking name in this book and I don't know any other Paulos. So you're buying this book. I can't save it.
Yeah.
For some Brazilian. Okay.
Right.
So
I can't
then I had to take 14. I was like plucking the singles from his wallet because he didn't want it. Because he was all over me. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah. You're going to invade my space? Give me your wallet.
Yes.
I'm going to invade your space. We'll both be a caricature of terrible genders. And you crazy
well, anyway,
son of a bitch.
So your Armenians aren't that bad.
No, we're great. I was telling Andy about how I signed your book. I'm never going to read this. And then there was the faux Twitter war that we had.
Yeah.
Faux people. And Andy goes, you guys are playing the laugh cry game, man. It's what Nancy used to say when I was a kid. 1 minute you're laughing, the next minute you're crying. And I was like, no, we're comics. The laugh cry game. We've gotten over the hump of the laugh cry game, hopefully. And so, yeah, I don't know.
I'm tired.
Well, we're doing good. We're doing good.
How many more minutes?
15 minutes left.
Oh.
15.
You
okay.
Think we'd have more to talk about since we hadn't seen each other for 2 weeks.
No, I've got.
Did anything happen in comedy?
Maria did an 8 a.m. New hour working on her new stuff every morning on the cruise.
Wow.
And she did it at 8 a.m. because she didn't want anyone to feel obligated to come.
Oh, my God.
And cruise ships people drank well into the night. And she's like, God. If there's 4 people there, that'll be awesome. 40 to 60 people every morning.
What the fuck?
Yeah, rolled themselves, including all of like Amy Mann,
wow.
Jonathan Colton's family.
Oh, my God.
All the comics, all the musicians. They were like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go watch Maria Bamford work on new jokes.
Oh, my God.
And she let everybody do open and close. She does that black box over at the clubhouse.
Yeah.
She'll let people do 5s.
Yeah.
Just someone does 5 to open, someone does 5 to close.
Nice.
I did three sets. And Andy was like, are you going to go try to pick up a set at the 8 a.m.?
And did Andy go with you?
Yeah. No, he on the boat, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gamed the entire week.
Mm.
He playtested his new games.
I did a afternoon show here yesterday at Meltdown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's the cold cereal show. It was at 1 o'clock.
No, I want cereal.
Now, yeah, I want cereal and I want more 1 o'clock shows.
1 p.m. shows?
Yeah.
Because it was outstanding?
It was fine, and
super
it
fun.
Felt like a real show until I, you know, you open the door and it's
and
full
then there's
sunlight.
the sun, right?
Sunscreen.
But the great thing about Meltdown is that it's got the good dank.
Yeah,
it really does. It's got the good comic.
It always feels like midnight at Meltdown.
Man, I sat. Oh, so everybody else has a book.
Yeah,
I have albums that I brought on the boat.
Yeah,
and we're doing a signing.
Yeah,
so I'm sitting. Patrick Rothfuss is next to me.
Yeah,
he's written Name of the Wind, which is a very popular.
You don't have to tell me.
Fantasy book.
Okay.
And then sitting next to him, Kelly Sue DeConnick, Bitch
yeah.
Planet.
Yeah.
Sitting next to her, Matt Fraction.
Uh-huh.
Sitting next to her, N.K. Jemisin, who won the Hugo 2 years in a row.
Wow.
So everybody's in line to talk to Nora Jemisin.
Yeah.
Everybody else has got books. I mean, they and I signed probably 10 CDs and DVDs. But
so did you sell a lot?
I sold some. They're going to mail me the rest of it.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But I just brought it because just in case people wanted it.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah. And, but I was going to say that, I had never sat at a signings table. They all go to comic cons and book signings and stuff like that. And so I thought it was like the merch table, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the show. And I brought my lunch. And you don't bring a sandwich to the table, it turns out. And I was
you're
like,
eating while you're signing your
well, nobody,
your merch.
And nobody wanted to. I mean, there was like it was pretty lightly attended,
yeah.
So there was plenty of time to turn around,
yeah.
Wolf down the sandwich, put the plate on the ground, and then be there.
Well,
for
good because there's certainly not many opportunities to eat on a cruise. So I'm glad you brought that sandwich.
Man, the food was ridiculous, of course, and. I'm glad it's over, quite honestly. The cruise was so beautiful and so great. And I genuinely love all those people because they were super, super nice. And, you know, at the end of it, you get to sing a group song with Amy Mann.
Oh, my God.
You're like, what's happening? Open Mic Eagle and Jean Grey are Quella. I mean, it was just
so
like,
there's a ton of comics on this thing, too.
Well, it was Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher.
Yeah.
Me and Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of comics who are nerds.
Yeah.
Come on the cruise. So there's a guy named Jason Hetrick out of Montreal.
Yeah.
I worked with him, not at the Nest. Where did I work with him? He might have worked at the Nest. Have you done the Comedy Nest in Montreal?
I did a set there during the first time I did Just for Laughs as a new face.
Okay.
It was fun.
It's a good weekend. Yeah. I did it one time, probably a year and a half ago. I'm due to email that guy.
I'm bills. An old face. If he could wants to have me back,
right? And a weekend would be nice.
Oh, just it'd
a
be week, great. Yeah.
Because and to go to Montreal when it isn't just for laughs,
right,
is nice.
You know, what'd be cool is I have that 3 weeks off after Comic Con is go to Montreal. I'll bring my kid to Montreal, and then we'll go to Germany from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That in July?
Because it would be cool. It's not going to happen.
But why do you think, why do you have to go to Germany from Montreal?
I'm just saying.
Oh, it'd be nice way, to do a cool destination
stand-up thing.
Instead of
flying from L.A.
thing.
To Berlin on some horrific 16-hour flight,
you can
fly to Montreal, have a good time in Montreal in a European city.
Right.
And then go to Germany.
Right. Oh, break it up. Nice.
Yes, break it up.
Or you could, there's so many great gigs over there. I'm trying to think. Have you done the Toronto rooms?
No.
With Ian Atlas?
Mm-mm.
Those are, he'd love to get you over there too. You could do that too. Toronto's gorgeous.
I just have very limited weeks.
Right, so those 3 weeks.
It's hard to fill. Although Hillary has so far filled every single hiatus week I've given her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
She
snuck one in April after.
Smooth move.
Yes. Like I have that week where I'm doing the Punchline. I'm flying up on Thursday after our show. And then if we come in on, we start a hiatus week on the Monday. Mm-hmm. So I told, I was like, oh, this is a little dicey. But if we come back in to work on Friday, I bought my plane tickets. I bought them way ahead of time. So they're like $75.
Awesome.
I'll fly down from San Francisco, go
work
to work
for the day,
fly back, do my two shows, Friday shows, then do my Saturday shows.
Yep.
And then the next week I'm going to Harvey's at Lake Tahoe and working. It's a Wednesday through Sunday.
But is it owned by the Portland Harvey's guy?
No.
Nah. Oh my God.
No, I think it's Levity.
Okay.
Yes. But here's the thing. So we start back to work on Monday morning.
Yeah.
And there's no direct flights from Reno to anywhere. It's
no, Salt Lake
it's
City.
A little shit town.
Phoenix.
Okay. So what I have to do is what's the week? What's the Sunday? Is it the 10th or something? Whatever, April, that week.
Okay.
Okay.
Go to LoriKilmartin.com.
But that's Sunday night. We have a show on Sunday. Then I have to drive. I'm going to drive to Oakland, which is about 4 hours, and rent a.
A Sunday.
Yes, that's the thing. Yes, yeah. So I'm going to drive to Oakland after the show. So I'd probably get in around if I get off stage around 9:30, get into Oakland around 1:30 or 2, get a hotel right next to the airport, and then fly home from Oakland to Burbank.
Yeah,
and then show up for work at 9:30.
Huh.
On Monday morning. It's a brutal night.
That's
for a Sunday show.
For a
like
Sunday
I wish
show.
They didn't have a Sunday show, but oh well. What are you gonna do?
And it'll be fun to. I kind of like Sunday shows because they're just, it's casual day.
Yeah.
You get to work on the new stuff. You get to screw around, go deep into the vault if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You get to have kind of fun because people who come to see comedy shows on Thursdays and Sundays just kind of make me happy. Because they're just
I know.
I love comedy.
Yeah. Although this is a casino, so I'm not really sure it's the same vibe. But it's a casino at Lake Tahoe, so it might. It's not exactly. It's not like Mohegan Sun Casino.
Right. It's.
I've
only done the improv. I've done Bud's improv at Tahoe, mm-hmm. and I did it with Graham Elwood.
Oh, fun!
And we split the week. We were co-headlining.
Yeah.
And it was very weird. Because I don't know, I remember whoever the kid was that Bud had working for him.
Yeah,
calls me up and says, "You know, Bud wants to know if you're willing to feature." And to feature is 15 minutes for shitty money,
right?
And I was like, "No, I'm not."
Well, you're already there at the gig.
When
before.
He booked it,
okay.
I said, "I can't do it. I can't feature." I was going to tell him I needed to either be paid headline money. And then be given another 15 minutes or to just a headline.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, well, I was really hoping you'd do it. And this is probably 10 years ago. Bud was really hoping you'd do it.
Oh, my God.
And I said, I can't do it. And so he calls me back like an hour later. And he goes, oh, no, he emails me. He goes, bud, we go back and forth and back and forth where I'm saying no.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying no with a number is what I am saying. So I guess I'm not saying no.
Right.
But the number is not going anywhere. He's just asking me to do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And finally he says, you know, Bud would take it as a personal favor, which is a classic Booker way to say it. And I said, you got to tell Bud I'd rather wash his car for him as a personal favor. But if he wants to, he can call Rick Messina. And who was repping me at the time.
Oh, my God.
And I said, and he could talk to him about it. And then he stopped calling me. And it was finally over. And I was like, I can't face it, man. It's too much. So I did get to work on a bunch of new weird stuff, doing the morning thing with Maria. And I have, I have a new, I got a new bit that's got some promise. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm doing sets this week. I'm doing that blind barber thing tomorrow night, which is super fun. And then I'm doing the lab on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, I fly to Vancouver for JFL. To open for Maria on Saturday.
Fun.
Come back on Sunday from Vancouver. And but they're flying us in late. I was hoping to get good Chinese in Vancouver because it's supposed to be amazing. Mm. But I'm coming back on Sunday. And then next week I have jury duty.
That won't take you. I wouldn't take you.
Well, nobody's ever taken me. I swear they look at it and go, comedian? No. Huh. Have you ever been on a jury?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay. So not for a while.
But I bet I haven't been taken in a while either. I'll be at QED in Astoria on March 17th doing a reading of Dead People Suck and some stand-up.
Are you just doing sets in town next week?
Yeah.
This week and next?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just follow the Twitter?
Yeah, follow the Twitter.
And see where the gigs are.
Yes. And what else was I going to say? Oh, so yeah, that like this chunk I've been working on now. It ends on a nice fat callback laugh.
Sweet.
Yes. So it has, now it has two callbacks in it. So now it's married to two other jokes.
Right. That's why I don't like callbacks. Because what if I forget to do them or I'm sick of them?
Well, you can't forget.
No.
Sorry. No, you got to fucking remember to do it.
That's right. You've created a machine is what you've done.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. So now it's an obligation. Now it's like a 4-minute thing from beginning to end. Is he making hand signals?
It feels like he's gesturing.
I was scratching the back of my head, but we can be done.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys. Bye.
Bye. Oh, leave a review.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.